Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk. Terry and Robin.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Powell, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. I am joined tonight, as most nights, by my partner, my lady, my love, my best friend. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm good.
So, tonight we are having open topic. And, this is the night that we don't always know until sometime just before the show what we're going to talk about. And tonight, however, we had kind of given some warning. We got kind of excited talking about the ritual on Tuesday night and realized that there was so much more to talk about with Imbolc, and it's just a time for divination and scrying. And, so we decided, what the hey, let's have a little fun. And so tonight we're going to be talking about Imbolc, and we're going to be talking about omens, divinations. Particularly, I think we're going to get into scrying and just hang out and chit-chat. So we're inviting people to call in, presuming, of course, the phones work. BTR, you never know. But call in at 646-564-9714 and join the show and hang out with us, share your thoughts about Imbolc or divination or whatever it is we're talking about at that particular moment. Just call in and join us. So, Robin, what to you, what is Imbolc all about?
Well, one of the things that I always celebrated, and one of the ways I always celebrated and marked this turning of the wheel, was with doing some scrying, and looking for omens for the coming year. It's the first big fire of the year after Yule, and it is a fire festival, and it's always, to me, sort of been a little bit of, looking for the return of the longer days. It's the promise that spring will return. The crocuses start to bloom, and the days get a little longer, and the animals start to stir. And for me, scrying has just always been a part of it at this time of year. So.
All right. Well, for me, I'm going to hit on one part of what you said. And for me, this is a time when we're the promise. You know, there's that promise of the days are noticeably longer. And, you and I were talking about this the other day. It's not dark when I leave work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can drive almost all the way to the house. Here where I stay during the week, and I can get almost here, and it's still daylight or dusky. You know, it's not full dark when I leave work.
Mm-hmm.
And some people at work today were actually mentioning how the days are longer, and you know these are not our pagan folk, but everybody notices the days are noticeably longer. And, you know, that's the part that has always empowered me with that promise that the spring is coming. And we're past that long night. And, you know, we're moving into the longer days. You know, there's still cold weather ahead. And depending on whether or not you believe the rodent in, Upper East Pennsylvania. I always love the idea of divination by rodent.
Groundhog, yeah. Divination by groundhog. Well, you know, that though goes to the roots of this holiday being centering around omens and divination and things like that. It's, you know, again, it's another overlaying of, you know, some sort of modern interpretation, more socially acceptable interpretation of an ancient tradition. And in this case, that would be scrying or divination at this time of year.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the Romans, were superstitious a lot to begin with. And, you know, they had all kinds of superstitions. Now, I want to back up and talk about, you know, the Groundhog Day. And, of course, America's groundhog is, you know, Punxsutawney Phil. In his current incarnation. And I decided it would be fun to have do a little research. And the truth is that Punxsutawney Phil has a horrible track. In fact, some of the people interviewed for an article I read today said that you would actually have better luck flipping a coin. You would get it right more often than Punxsutawney Phil. His record is, let's see, where was it? His record was something like 39%. There it is. 39%. If you flipped a coin, you would probably hit 50% or close to it. So the rodent's not doing well. So
the rodent. You're funny.
He's
a groundhog, not a rodent.
Don't use
degrading epithets about Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, the thing is, the Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, is, you know, not got a great track record. So, although he did cast a shadow this morning, when he casts his shadow and foretells, you know, six more weeks of winter, the And the forecasts have been, well, let's say, a little shy of that number. So only about a third of the time does he get that one right. He's got a better average when he doesn't see a shadow. So I found that interesting. I just thought a little research would be fun to see how that has been playing out over the years.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for about 100 years or so now. So I think they're close to 150 years that some incarnation of Punxsutawney Phil has been prognosticating the amount of time between now and spring. And so anyway, but I mean, it's natural for us to, as humans, to try to look for information, try to look at nature and perceive within nature messages from the divine. Whether it's, a groundhog or, sign of the way the birds are flying, a sudden bolt of lightning. Whatever it is, the idea that the divine is trying to give us messages and all we need to do is watch is, it's ancient. I mean, the ancient Romans were looking at flocks of birds and trying to see what you could learn from their means. So what are some of the other omens that come to your mind when you...
Well, I will tell you that I had observation of my own today, which is going to go against what Punxsutawney Phil predicted. But I was driving down the road today and looked over in a field, and there was a massive flock of swans migrating. And usually they wouldn't be migrating for a little while longer here. So to me, that indicated probably going to be an early spring. The birds usually know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen the geese and heard the geese lately.
These were white swans.
Huh. But even the geese flying at this time of year, it's a little early.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
So this is another indication. But is that an omen? I mean, is that an omen or is that an observation of nature? Where's that line?
Very good question. An omen is really open to interpretation. And where do you draw the line with, fact and experience and something being interpreted as an omen? From experience, I can tell you over my last 50 years that when you see flocks of birds this early, in February, it generally means there's going to be an early spring. That's my personal experience. To another person, they may not have that experience, and they'd be like, what is the deal with the big flock of swans? And there's got to be some other omen to that. There's going to be some other interpretation to that. So it's very subjective. Swans also mate for life. It can be an omen of, if you were someone who were having marital issues today and you saw a flock of swans, you might be thinking, oh, it's telling me to stay with my significant other. Or they also have because of that they mate for life, they're associated with long-term relationships and love and, marriage. It's why you see sometimes swans being, depicted on wedding cards and at weddings because they represent longevity of relationships. So, it depends.
Absolutely. I mean, if people always thought of, celestial, activities or occurrences, you know, the, you know, eclipses. You know, it's, you know, I mean, you know, like a comet. You know, the appearance of Halley's Comet in 1066.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it depends on which side of that war, you know, the Battle of Hastings, which side you were on, as to whether
mm-hmm.
that was a good or a bad omen. You
yeah.
know? It was certainly bad for, you know, for King Harold of England.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was certainly a good omen for, you know, William of Normandy. So, something to think about, you know. And it,
mm-hmm.
it goes to your question about is the, you know, is the lion bad when it kills the zebra?
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah, whose perspective?
Kind of. It, right. It's all a matter of perspective. So, you know, how many omens that we think of in certain ways are,
mm-hmm.
you know, good or bad depending on your perspective. What are some of the other omens that you can think of?
Oh, gosh, there are omens. You can see omens everywhere, you know, in your day-to-day if you choose to. Anything from a feather, coming across a feather. I know there was a time in my life where over a span of a few months, I would be walking down the street and a feather would float down right in front of my face. I mean, impossible to miss. And there is, the Native Americans believe that there is a language of bird feathers, and that when you are gifted with a bird feather like that, it is definitely a message or omen from the gods and not to be ignored. And I learned about that feather language when this was happening to me, because I'm like, what is going on? Why do feathers keep falling in my face, you know?
Yeah.
Other omens can be way more mundane, like for about a span of 2 weeks, one time, every single bathroom I went into, public bathroom, my bathroom in my house, bathrooms in other people's homes when I went visiting them, I was the person getting the last couple of sheets off the roll of toilet paper. And it sounds stupid, but it was definitely telling me that I needed to make a change about, you know, what I was doing with my life right then. And that was all that kept coming to my mind every time. You know, I got to change the role, you know. I got to make a change here. And I ultimately did, and it was the right thing to do. But it... sometimes, like I said, you know, you can see omens in the most mundane things.
Yeah, well, I was always taught that the animal omens in particular, you know, seeing a flock of geese at a certain time of year, you know, okay, that's, you know, that's not a coincidence. That's, you know, nature.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Seeing a flock of geese at a different time of year, or seeing an animal act out of character,
mm-hmm.
Typically is when I've been told to pay attention.
Yeah.
When an animal of some sort appears to be trying to get your attention,
mm-hmm.
that's an indication that this animal is a messenger, and that the animal itself and the magic or the medicine, depending on your, you know, native or not,
mm-hmm.
that the animal itself is the message.
Yeah.
You know, hi, look at me. I'm getting your attention, dummy. You know, look up
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, figure out whatever, you know, crow means or,
mm-hmm.
What message is this supposed to bring?
Right.
And I have had very good luck with following that and paying attention when, you know, when we were preparing to launch Spiritual Unity Radio Network,
mm-hmm.
a hawk flew low across the front yard of the house here and landed on the top of the car 10 feet from me and looked at me, got my attention, nodded, turned, and flew back the way it had come. Yeah, there's no way to really deny this animal was getting my attention. And by looking at the messages from that encounter, I think we made some different decisions and some better decisions about the radio station, and here we are, you know, 3 years later. So,
right.
So, those are the kinds of things that I'm always told to look for. Some other stuff is really more superstition and, and fear-based, omens. Because almost all the time you hear about an omen, it's almost always a warning of some sort. And I think
omens
most,
are not always bad. They're not always a bad thing. Omens are meant to give you a message or draw your attention to something. They're not always warnings.
I agree, and I've always thought that when it was an omen, when people perceived it as bad, it tended toward, superstition. I mean, superstition, omen, where do you draw the line there? It involves, some supernatural causality. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting this to happen because I got this message, and it must be of a supernatural origin. The belief in black cats crossing your path brings bad luck, or, for that matter, finding a four-leaf clover and believing it brings you good luck. Both of those are kind of superstitious, omens, I guess. Where is that line between superstition and omen?
Well, again, I guess it would be all a matter of perspective. I have had some experiences myself with unusual, animal behavior over the years. That, you can't just discount it. You've got to, pay attention to it and see it as for what it is, and try to glean the message out of it. Or sometimes just accept the gift that they chose to, get your attention, and try to communicate with whatever that animal or, insect or whatever it is might be trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and years ago, and I was still practicing as a solitary witch. This is probably going back to the mid-80s.
Yes?
Sorry, hold on. I was practicing back in the mid-80s, and I was going out into the woods, and I decided that night, I think it looked like it was going to rain. So instead, I decided to do a small ritual. As a solitary practitioner, I was just going to do a small ritual by myself. So I figured I'll just sit here on my front step and do it. And the front step of my house had, several concrete, those big square concrete pavers. And then around that, I had, my flower garden. And it was full moon. And I started to cast circle and call the quarters, and I called the gods, and something caught out of the corner of my eye, like, what is that? And I looked down, and it is this very large black beetle, reminiscent of a scarab-type beetle. And I'm thinking, I live in New Jersey. Why is there a scarab here? This beetle came out onto these white pavers that I had on the cement and started doing a dance. I mean, it was twisting itself over, and it was rocking up and down and back and forth, and then it would twist over again. It would open its back wings and close its back wings, and I was mesmerized by the behavior of this beetle. And I must have watched it for about a good 10 minutes, and then it just decided to stop, and it crawled back into the flower bed.
Wow.
I was kind of blown away by the whole experience, and immediately, you know, finished my ritual that I had planned, and went back inside and hopped on my very early computer and started looking up references to scarabs and beetles, and how is it that I had this beetle. This beetle was about 3 inches long, and we're not talking about a little beetle. It was a big beetle. It was as long as my thumb, you know, and big and black. And I happened across the website that was talking about dung beetles that could live in New Jersey, and how they occasionally can get to be these large, grand, you know, beetles, and that they are distant cousins to the traditional scarab beetle from, say, you know, Egypt and then the desert. And I was completely blown away by that. I mean, in all my years of gardening, you know, in New Jersey, I had never seen one of these beetles before. And there it was, just out of the clear blue. And still to this day, still think about that, you know, and what a validating experience for a witch who was just getting started to have this amazing experience with this beetle that to this day I really can't explain. But that beetle came and danced under the full moon with me in my circle. That's all I can say.
Okay. Did you ever determine the message that beetle was bringing to you?
Well, you know, at the time, doing the research on it, you know, beetles were traditionally thought of as, oddly enough, you know, being stable and steady and hardworking, and you know, they were respected by royalty and they were used by the royalty. So I really honestly, you know, didn't really see the nature of it then, but later I came to understand that the beetle was probably telling me that I needed to work harder in my path, that I was doing a good job, but that I needed to work harder and be, you know, dedicate myself to something bigger than me. And ultimately, I believe that was the push for me to start the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance. That was the moment that I was sort of tapped by the divine to say, you need to get out into your community and create community. And I did from that was the moment where I realized this is definitely real and there's more to this than meets the eye. There is magic in the world. And it really was a validating experience for me for the entire concept of being on this path.
Very cool. Very cool.
So,
hey, we are almost at the bottom of the hour.
Ah, okay. What song are we going to listen to?
Well, couldn't find anything that was specifically, you know, Imbolc related or divination, so I just thought it would be nice, since we're going to have Jenna Green joining us here in the next few weeks.
Okay.
I love her voice, and she's got a song called Lady Moon.
Okay.
That is just a beautiful song, so I thought we would play something about the lady tonight.
Okay.
As we honor the lady in Imbolc. So, everybody stick around. We're going to play Lady Moon by Jenna Green. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Behind me, as I feel the shackles break, my destiny. destiny is now mine to make. Still fighting battles in my head of a past that's so long gone. Through pain and perseverance, my freedom has been won. What enchantment now pulls me here into this haunting place? With ancient stones I stand face to face. Lady Moon, soul of silver light, the magic flows and walks me through the night. Summoning me, setting me free. Rekindling distant memories. Lady Moon, Arion Rod. Lady Moon, Arion Rod. I now reach the standing stones and calm falls over me. Surrounded and completed by a starry autumn breeze, I hear the ancients welcome, friends and guides all, then silence as they wait for my call. I brought a chant from an old book that the gates would open to me. But as I walk along this night, my own song I now weave. The gates already open to let me walk between. The magic is with me if I just believe.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
All right, and welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Fowler, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. How you doing over there, Don?
I'm doing very well.
All right, so before the break, we were talking, you know, we talked a little bit about Involk, and we talked about Omen. But, you know, we were also going to talk tonight about scrying, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's one of the, in my opinion, one of the more, I don't know, the other forms of divination, from tarot to pendulum to runes or whatever, tends to have this kind of prearranged language. And I agree that if spirit causes this symbol or this to appear, it means this. But scrying is a little more subjective, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Thought I would throw that in there before, you know, I ask you to talk about scrying. I think you're a little better at scrying than I am.
Well, I don't know that it's better or worse, but I have intuitively done scrying for many years, and it wasn't until I had been doing it for years when I realized it was a thing. And it's funny how that is such a common story amongst witches is, well, I used to do this all the time, and then I realized it was a thing. People actually did this. I used to take this black bowl that I had, and I would put water in it, and I would crush up herbs or dried rose petals frequently, and just sit there and look into the bowl and sort of contemplate the shapes that would appear to me. And as you're sitting there sort of opening yourself and thinking about, you know, something, you would start to get answers. And it was just sort of a natural occurrence for me. Sort of the way some people will sit and watch fire. You know, people are mesmerized by fire often, and you're just watching the flames dance, and sometimes things will come to you while you're, you know, your forebrain, as I say it, is engaged in something else. And it's the same thing with crushing the herbs on the water and watching the watching all of the different shapes and the movements in the water of the herbs. It does something. It speaks to you, and relaxes the mind and allows you to hear things that you need to hear, I suppose, or allows you to let information bubble up from inside you. And it depends on how you think about it as to
mm-hmm.
how you think it happens, but. It doesn't really matter how it happens, but it does happen. And that's really the basis of scrying is, you know, there are all kinds of fancy ways to do it. You can get the you know, get a concave piece of glass and paint it black and watch the reflections. You can scry in a television that's just got static on the screen. You can scry in fire. You can scry in smoke. You can scry, you know, in just about anything. A puddle with leaves floating in it. You know, tea leaves in the bottom of a cup.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about tea leaves. Is reading tea leaves considered scrying, looking for the patterns in the...
Yeah, I mean, I would consider, yes, that is scrying. But I'm not an expert on that, but that's how I view it, you know.
Okay. Well, I know that I have, for a lot of years, watched fires, like you're talking about. But interestingly enough, for me, I would see the cracks in the wood, and I would see runes, and get kind of almost a mixing of two kinds of divination, where I would get the feeling from the fire, but then I would see the symbols in the cracks in the wood, and those would equate then to runes that had a prearranged message. So I don't know if that's scrying or not in that regard. But I did have some experience. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I said, I would say that's a type.
Okay. And I did have some measure of experience with, some years ago, I used to rescue granite, colored granite, particularly from a countertop place. And I would prepare altar stones and stuff like that. But I also would get the black absolute granite out of these, and I would use those for central altar stones. And I started noticing that it almost appeared as if it was a window. So then I bought a few tiles made of that same black absolute granite, and had them cut into 6x6 squares, and then sold them as scrying mirrors, because I noticed for myself, it looked like if I just, you know, let my eyes go out of focus and look at the patterns, the kind of randomness of the speckles, then it almost felt like I was looking through a window into a dark room on the other side kind of feeling. And I would occasionally then get, impressions and messages. And I'm guessing that's the sort of thing you're talking about, where you've got some kind of random something that seeds the subconscious, like you're floating herbs or looking at the reflections, kind of distorted reflections from a concave mirror, or the randomness of fire. Am I on the right track?
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, we were talking the other night about this, and I think of the tarot and runes and, you know, flipping coins or bones or whatever it is that you have a prearranged language, kind of being like learning a language and reading a book. Whereas scrying tends to be more like a symphony. And you used the word hearing earlier, which I found was telling. And, you know, because it's speaking to something other than the forebrain, like you're saying. What do you think of that analogy? I'm not sure if I'm on the right track. It's just a feeling I have of it.
Well, sure. I mean, here comes my Scott Cunningham answer. Well, if that's how it feels to you and it feels right, then that's what you should do. And he's, you know, it's still valid today. I mean, if that's how it appeals to you, if that's how it comes to you, then that's what you should work with and that's what you should go with. And that, you know, that goes for everybody in general. And you know, when I always tell people when I talk about stuff, I'm talking about from my experience. This is what I do on my path. Doesn't mean that's what you have to do. Doesn't mean that it'll work for you. It's just, I'm just telling you that I can validate the fact that this is real. I can validate that it, that there is something to it, because I've had these experiences myself.
Yeah. And I guess as we talk about it, I guess I've had more experiences with scrying than I really had given thought to.
Most people do.
You know, I'm more the crafty, sciencey kind of, wizardy type in a lot of ways. And I'm forever building, magical things. But, getting that intuitive kind of interaction, I can sit and commune and have a meditation and know that I'm having a very real experience with the divine, but it doesn't tend to be that intuitive feeling kind of thing like from scrying. But maybe I've been doing that more than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been concentrating on one thing and not really seeing it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, I think that, everybody approaches it from their own perspective and what's going to feel right to them. This is why we have so many different types of things. We have omens. We have scrying. We have, the more formal, written down systems of divination like tarot and runes and, there are hundreds of them. Everybody, depends on where their gifts lie and what things appeal to them. Are they visual? Are they auditory? Are they, how do they learn? How do they pick things up? So don't discount, if you've used the I Ching and that didn't work for you, that, trying to scry in a bowl, it doesn't mean that won't work for you. Or, if you've tried scrying in a fire and that doesn't work for you, then don't say, I'm never going to try tarot because that's not part of my gift. I don't have that gift of, to foresee things. And I think sometimes people sell themselves short. You have to keep trying things until you realize where your gifts lie. And, I've always just thought.
And the language you're called to speak with the divine.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. Yeah, my language is a little different from the way you relate because I think I tend to gravitate toward things that are very free-form and flowing and not very structured. And you like a little bit more formal stricture and structure. And that's fine. It's not, one is not better than the other. They are just different.
It makes for some great dynamics in our life together.
Yeah, it does.
In that we found that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to loosen up, and you've learned to see a little value to a little bit of structure, and we both gained from it, certainly.
Yeah.
And I was always drawn to more structured types of divination, and I've never had a problem. Now, I'm not sure I could look at the I Ching and it mean anything to me. It would just be, dots and dashes and, probably meaningless because I've not studied it.
Right.
But I think that anything random, anything that we can randomize, whether it's dice or throwing 10 coins and this many are heads and this many are tails, if we formalize that and agree upon that being the meaning, then that's a form of divination. But returning to the scrying, that's a little more, you use the word intuitive, and I think that's probably the best possible word to use because it's not structured. It's that free-form stuff that you love that I'm learning to appreciate a little bit more. And the final question I have, because we are moving toward the top of the hour, in all of these ways that you talked about scrying, there was something besides just a you know, perfect surface, the perfectly smooth blank surface, there was something random in it to seed the intuition or the imagination. Am I picking up on something important to the process there?
Yeah, I agree. You have to decide what, as I said, you have to kind of decide what works for you and what process you're going to use, and try different things and see which ones work better for you and what appeals to your sense of, you know, some people love tarot cards because they like to have those pictures to lead them through their, you know, the little signposts to point them in the right direction. Other people want to throw bones and look at the bones and interpret what they see. So it's all a matter of symbols and taking our perceptions and our experiences and bringing them to bear on what we're looking at, whether it's tarot cards, bones we're throwing, a fire, a concave piece of glass painted black, a TV screen. It doesn't really matter. All those things work. Interpreting omens, you know, as well, are, again, it's all perspective and what you know and what you see. And I've talked about this before, that when you're going to do readings for other people and you're going to interpret omens for them, which, by the way, I don't necessarily recommend, you know, doing something as free-form as interpreting an omen for someone. Certainly you can use that omen and do a tarot card reading to see if you can get more information about it. I have done that, or some other form of divination, more formal divination, to get a better handle on what an omen might mean. And so, you know, there's, again, you can use them in concert in that way, omens and formal divination. But the bottom line is that this time of year at Imbolc has always been celebrated as a time to, you know, read the omens and look at the signs and interpret them for the village and for each individual to see how your year is going to progress.
Okay. I was actually asking a more specific question about scrying.
Oh, I'm
because
sorry.
In every one of, no, it's okay, but in every one of those cases you mentioned not just a petal, but you mentioned a petal with leaves. You mentioned
mm-hmm.
the bowl but with crushed herbs.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the granite with the speckles in it. When someone uses a crystal ball, it's not a perfectly clear piece of glass,
mm-hmm.
but actually the imperfections in it tend to seed something in the imagination, the random movement of the fire. In all of those cases, we're talking about some form of scrying. Even the concave mirror and looking at the reflections, particularly I know in candlelight, those distorted reflections because of the concave surface tend to be more abstract and pull us into seeing beyond the surface and seeing and the abstract nature of the symbols or the imperfections tend to pull us towards something. And I was wondering if that was something, that's kind of something I was picking up on in all of the things that we talked about. That a perfectly smooth surface on a bowl with no nothing would tend not to have something to draw your intuition.
Well, you know, people can still scry on that, but generally what you're looking for is movement in patterns and that's what's going to sort of help the patterns to form in your mind and create messages and how you interpret them. So, yes, most of the time you look
for... So I was correctly picking up on a theme there. You want some pattern or imperfection to
mm-hmm.
draw your
yep.
mind toward that.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think the concave nature of the bowl is to create reflection.
And I guess it would also not be a true reflection, but something slightly distorted. And then you do that in candlelight, which flickers, and then things move. And
exactly.
You're not just looking at yourself in a mirror.
Right.
It's, you know, okay. So, again, it's an abstract kind of quality to it rather than a perfectly smooth surface.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. So, cool. I thought I was picking up on something there, but I wasn't, you know, I wanted to ask. Because, like I said, you've got more experience with that kind of stuff than I do. Now, I can build any kind of wand and magical, you know, machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, and do it with, you know, with great confidence. Something like this is something a little less sure. So thank you for your guidance and input on that. So we are at about 4 minutes away from the top of the hour. Our evening together has flown by once more.
Wow, yeah.
So why don't you take just a real quick moment and tell people how to get in touch with us, please, ma'am.
Sure. You can reach either Terry or myself by getting in touch with us at our email address. And the email address is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And when you do email us, please put something in the subject that will let us know that this is something we should actually read, because we get a lot of email at that address. And some of the time we just go, junk mail. And so if you put something in the, you know, in the subject that says, you know, workshop request or a question about the radio show or something like that, you know, idea for a show for the radio show, topic I want to, question I have, whatever it is, so that we'll know that it's pertaining to the radio station and that you have a question. Or a comment that we can address. You can also reach Terry and I on Facebook, and my Facebook page is Robin A. McKean, and Terry's Facebook page is Rev, as in R-E-V, as in Victor, Rev, Terry Power HP. And you can reach either of us through those pages. We can also be reached at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook. The one thing I will say about the Facebook pages is that if you're not a friend of the page or a friend of ours and you send us a PM message, it'll go into that whole, like, weird other messages file that I might not see for 6 months. So just be aware of that. So, yeah, I actually just found a message from somebody that they sent me 6 months ago. And I felt horrible. I wrote back to them, and I felt horrible. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I had to check this every week. Because it didn't even occur to me that if somebody sent me a message and they weren't my friend, it would go into this, you know, hinterland of unknown messages on my page on Facebook. So
through the black mirror.
Yeah, exactly. So probably have a better chance of scrying and trying to reach me than doing that, but you know, that's the breaks. So but definitely try and reach us. If you've sent me a message on my Facebook page and I have not responded, please send an email to littlestonebridge@gmail.com and say this message is for Robin and get in touch with us, and we'll try to respond.
Definitely use the email address. All right, well, thank you, darling. I want to let people know just a few things that are coming up on the 7th, this coming Tuesday night. We're going to be doing our full moon ritual for February, and then a week from tonight, we're going to be talking with one of the artists that will be appearing in October at Caldera Fest 2017.
Yeah.
And his name is Bran Kerdorian. And I'm just getting excited already. I mean, we're eight months away, and we're already getting excited about Caldera Fest. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, last year was so amazing, and looking forward to being there and Spiritual Unity Radio Network will be there once again. And we're really excited about it. It was just a great time and a great facility. David Vinash did an amazing job organizing, and I'm looking forward to what he pulls off this year. Let's see, on the 14th, on Valentine's Day, interesting that Valentine's Day and Imbolc and the Bride and Bridget, it's in here, all in the same month. Who'd have thought? So Valentine's Day is on a Tuesday. So on Tuesday the 14th, Robin and I will be talking about love magic. So you want to tune in for that. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be talking with Ginger Doss. Amazing talent and a great deal of fun. Always enjoy talking with her. And so that's just some of the stuff that's coming up in the next few weeks on the Power Hours and Under a Shady Tree. So thank you, my lady, for being here and helping to keep me on task and to teach us all a little bit more about scrying. Hopefully the rest of our listeners came away knowing more than they did. I know I certainly did, so thank you. And
You're welcome.
To all of our listeners.
Yep,
you know, thanks to all of our listeners for sharing time with us. Tell all of your friends. And if you do have topic ideas, Robin said it already, but I'm going to remind you that we're always looking for thoughts and ideas and suggestions about topics so that we can better provide our listeners with information that they are looking for. So please, let us know what you want to hear us talk about. And that email address is littlephonebridge@gmail.com. So any final words or thoughts about Imbolc or omens or scrying, divination, anything you want to share?
Well, I always encourage people to try scrying. You know, everybody looks at tarot decks. Everybody looks at runes. Not too many people will give scrying, good old-fashioned scrying a chance. And you probably should at least give it a try and see. For some people, it comes incredibly naturally. Other people have to work at it a little bit. Some people, it doesn't appeal to at all. But give it a try.
Yeah, and the one thing I do know that I have learned is don't try. Try it, but don't try. Don't work at it. Sit and relax. And look into whatever it is you're looking into, whether it's the black absolute granite or the fire or the bowl of water. Whatever it is, just relax and let your mind wander. And there's where you'll find the magic.
That's very true.
So I think with that, we will simply wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.